Good morning, boy. It has been a long day already. I got up to my 11-year-old feeling not so well at midnight. Not badly unwell, but enough such that was me up. And then, because my brain never stops, that was me for the next few hours. So I think I've slept maybe 4 hours last night. I don't know. I don't know. It hasn't been great. What am I doing today? New stuff. Burton says, "Hi, Tristan. Midnight here, but do enjoy your coffee, mate. I'm well and truly into my coffee. Don't worry about that." Are the kids excited for Halloween? Isn't that American holiday? Halloween happens a little bit here, but it's not a big thing. I think it's viewed as a combination of an American holiday and something that the kids have a bit of fun with. And look, it's good for the kids. Don't get me wrong, but it's it. No, I'm fine. I'll be okay with that Halloween. Now, jumping into things. Where are we today? Let's begin with the sponsors. So, why did I just go to Home Assistant? Oh my God, I'm tired today. I do know who the sponsor is this week, actually. It's Veronis, and Veronis has been a sponsor for many, many previous episodes, including, I think, the last two episodes they're on there, as well as many times in the past. And as I've said in the past, I have spent a lot of time back in the day when I got to spend time with people, with the Veronis folks. In fact, I remember being with them at RSA in San Francisco. It was one of the events we did together. I caught up with a few folks from there in Israel last year as well. Man, that was a long time ago. Feels like a long time ago. So they have got their security FWD series video still up there in the sponsor banner today. Brand new YouTube series. Watch how far Wi-Fi can travel. And I'm going to be talking a bit about Wi-Fi today and faster speeds because a couple of cool things connectivity-wise that have either happened for me or are happening today. I'm very, very excited about this. So big thanks to Veronis. Now, as you may also have noticed, I have had a haircut today. I've tried to make myself a bit more presentable and a bit less scruffy. But who am I going to see? Oh, mate, I see you guys, but I don't get to go anywhere and see people. Not very much anyway. But I do get to go somewhere today, which is a little bit exciting. I get to go to the Apple Store and get my new iPhone 12 Pro. Now, why? What is the value proposition over this sucker just here, which I'm actually going to put on silent now, which is my 11 Pro. Which has been a great phone, especially for the camera things. Main thing about the 12 is obviously getting 5G. I'm excited about 5G, other than all the coronavirus it carries. But I'm excited from a connectivity perspective. We have had some 5G rollout here in Australia, courtesy of Telstra, probably our biggest network provider. So obviously the first thing I'm going to be doing as soon as I pop that phone open is doing a speed test and seeing how fast it actually goes, which, mind you, I'm going to do right now on my 4G phone because, in fairness, as much as everyone goes, "Oh, connectivity in Australia sucks," which is a fair comment, our 4G on Telstra has actually been pretty good. I've seen many occasions in the past, might make a liar of me now, but I've seen many occasions in the past where I've had like 450 megabits or something, which has not been too bad. And it looks like I'm tracking at the moment. Are we going to be 300? Are we going to hit 300? 280 something, something. 279. 279 down, which frankly is not too bad, but I would love to see those gigabit speeds. So I'm eagerly awaiting that. The MagSafe, the connector on the back. I'm kind of keen about that as well for a couple of reasons. Number one, I have a wireless charging pad next to my bed, and both Charlotte and I got the same ones. Sit next to the bed, you sit the phone on the pad like this, like it sits flat. But the problem is that if you don't have it sitting perfectly in the right spot, you get up in the morning and your battery's dead. And it sucks big time. Now, something like this one just here, which is unplugged because this no longer works either, is a better solution insofar as once you put the phone on. Okay, it can go a little bit sideways like that, but it's always the same vertical height. But the flat ones just suck big time. Now, the same charging pads that we have do the Apple Watches as well, and they have that like magnetic clip on where once you put the watch on, you know that it's connected properly. So MagSafe is going to do that. So, of course, then you've got to go and get charging pads that are compatible with MagSafe, et cetera, and you continue down like the spiral of dependencies that is the Apple ecosystem. But that'll be a good thing. And the other thing that'll be a good thing, and I believe Belkin has one of these on the way, is a car holder that can actually MagSafe on. So in my Mercedes, not a problem because it's got CarPlay. So I'll talk about everything I hate about CarPlay another time. But for the most part, I hardwire it in, put it in the glove box. On my GTR, not so much. So I need to have like a manual phone holder. I'd love to just have a clip MagSafe one so that I don't have to have like either a metal plate in here or the little arms that hold onto it. And then the challenge will be to see if MagSafe is sufficient for GTR level G-forces. We'll see if the thing actually stays stuck. So I read the comments here. Robert Cook, yesterday the lines at Robina were so long. Make sure you bring snacks. Oh, man. So Robina is where we have our Apple store on the Gold Coast. I have an appointment there today. I'm hoping it's not like a crazy massive long line because I've got the appointment and I got the little thing, but we'll see. Incidentally, and I've said this before, and I understand that this statement is going to reflect how privileged we are here, not just in Australia, but on the Gold Coast. The only time I've had to wear a mask throughout all of coronavirus is going into the Apple store, not into the shopping center that has the Apple store or any of the other shops there. It's into the Apple store. So I am predicting that today will become the second time during coronavirus I've actually had to wear a mask, which could be worse, could be worse. James, haven't been able to justify the extra $300 for 5G phone yet. Not with our data caps anyway. I don't have a problem with the data caps. They're generally pretty generous here. And of course, because I'm not really traveling at the moment, which will change next month, I'll start to talk a little bit about that, probably more next week. But because I'm normally at home, I'm normally on Wi-Fi and I'm normally on the plan here, which I think is unlimited. They've never sent me a letter, so I think I made it unlimited when I got it. But yes, you could blow through a data cap quite quickly if you could actually get multiple gigabits worth of speed on 5G, which would be a fair point. All right, let us see. What else? So someone here wants to see the MagSafe GTR test. Yeah, that would kind of be fun anyway. Comment from Burton, Peter McKinnon review, love the iPhone 12 Pro cameras. From what I could see, this is a little, and it's not just Apple, I guess a lot of tech companies. It's like, here's the new version. It makes all of these things better. And as I understand it, and I couldn't tell you why, but apparently the cameras on the 12 Pro are better than the 11 Pro, but we'll find out soon. I don't know if it's going to be one of those things where definitely when I went to the Pro phone, it was like, yes, I can see this with my own sort of untrained photographic eye. This is a big improvement. I don't know I'm going to see a big improvement, but we'll find out. But having said that, it's kind of like this is a time in my life, particularly with kids, where the memories are so precious, and there's a little bit of me which is like, look, if there's a premium in order to have just that bit of extra clarity in the photos and the videos and all the things I collect day in and day out, then I'm willing to pay that premium. There's a question here. What camera are you using to record this with? So this is a Sony A6400 with a Sigma lens. The best way to see exactly what it is, because I can't remember the precise model numbers, is Google Troy Hunt Ultimate Home Office. And you'll see I wrote a blog post several months ago. It's got absolutely everything in it, which is the camera, even the lighting and everything. In fact, even today, Lisa Forte did a podcast with me a little while ago with video, and she shared a snippet of it. And I was just looking at some of the comments going, wow, this lighting is amazing. And it's really, really pretty simple. It's some Hugos. And then I get a lot of light from like the wall of monitors in front of me. So let me go on, because there have been some other things that are relevant today. And in fact, I'm going to go a little bit out of order from what I've got on my list here. But talking connectivity, I installed Amplify Alien for one of my friends on the weekend. And this is super, super cool. If you haven't seen what this looks like, just do a little Google for Amplify Alien. Now, Amplify is the more consumer-centric line of Ubiquiti's Unify product. So you've got Ubiquiti, the company that make Unify, which is all of the multiple access points and things I've got around the house. We'll talk more about those in a moment too. And then you have things like the Ubiquiti Dream Machine Pro, or we used to have like cloud keys and security gateways, and you'd sort of compose your network just the way you want to. And then amplify is like pull it out of the box, turn it on, it just works. It's what I put in my mum and dad's house. I put it in this neighbor's house here. It was other neighbors the other way who I spent a couple of hours with on the weekend and got them up and running too. And it looks so, so cool. So they call it Alien. I assume to be a little bit gamery. And it's funny because these neighbors have a very, very stylish house. The guy's an architect, so everything is like very architect-y. And I was thinking, oh, how's this going to look if I take this like gamery black looking thing that then has these bright yellow lights and stuff out the bottom. But it looks epic, and it's got a really, really nice vertical display on it as well, which has everything from the current throughputs up and down, the clients that are connected, it's a touch screen, so you can navigate through and do software updates and things like that. And as with the other Amplify lines, which I've put in other people's homes, there's effectively the primary unit, which is the one that has, in this case, four Ethernet jacks in the back. It's got all the controller software, everything else is on there. And then there is a satellite unit which can create part of the mesh network. And you can either mesh network by wirelessly uplinking, so you can put it anywhere in the house so long as it has signal quality to the base station. Or, and we discovered this when we were putting it in their house, fortunately, they actually have wired backhaul. So we found a distant location in the house, wired backhaul it in. So now you've got two different wireless access points, part of a mesh network, high-speed, stable, non-RF connection between the two of them, and just Wi-Fi everywhere. So they look super, super, super cool. Now, what was really cool is I wanted to do a little bit of before and after in terms of the connection speed. So I actually had in SSIDEA on my laptop, which does all the it looks at all the channels that are being broadcast and the signal strength. You can walk around the place and sort of see it all change. And I was going to be very high tech about it, but I thought, oh, first of all, I'll just literally whip out my phone, jump on the network, run a speed test. And just for context, about the fastest we can go, and don't laugh, but about the fastest we can go in terms of our internet connectivity here where we are in this location, again, their neighbors, I assume they get the same speed, is about 58 megabits a second. Absolute max. This is for Aussies. This is NBN. We cannot get more than 58. It's obviously fiber to the node. Yeah, I know. This is where we are. Anyway, so I whip out the phone and do the speed test, and I got like 2.something. It was like 2.8 megabits or something like that. And I was like, mate, how do you even watch like HD TV? Like that is just super, super sucky. And what was odd then is I take out the laptop and I hardwire it into their existing router, and it's bam, like straight up to 52 megabits or something like that. So I don't know what on earth was going on that Wi-Fi configuration, but it was just absolute crap. So, of course, once I plug in the Dream Machine, then I basically get the exact same speed, not the Dream Machine, the Amplify Alien, the exact same speed as I would have gotten just hardwired into the existing router modem. So they are super happy because that's like, okay, here's a 20 times speed boost straight away. And I don't think we can credit Ubiquiti for that. We can probably discredit the crappy unit that was already in there. But the experience from them was that was very positive. Now, where was I going with this? The Amplify Alien apparently is not actually available for sale in Australia. Now, I didn't realize this until I started to see people get very excited about the thread and come back with all these comments. Ubiquiti did send it to me. I didn't pay for it. I got it for free. It had been sitting there in my cupboard for ages, just waiting until I could find a good use case for it. I can't do anything with it here. I got lots of Ubiquiti stuff, and I'll talk more about that in a moment. So I was just waiting for someone who I felt was deserved of the unit. In fact, the reason I gave it to this couple is that, as I mentioned, he's an architect and he's done a lot of work helping Charlotte and I redesign some house stuff. And I was like, mate, I really want to, this is like my little gesture to try and, you know, give you good Wi-Fi. So apparently not available in Australia yet. I have asked Ubiquiti when it's going to be available here. I don't believe it's available in many other parts of the world yet either. The big thing about it, I should probably mention this, is that it's Wi-Fi 6 compatible. So Wi-Fi 6 gives us all the wonderful new things that we get from new generations of Wi-Fi implementations. And I believe it's only compatible with iPhone 11 or newer. For those of you on the Apple ecosystem, I'm sure it's compatible with other devices as well. which is fantastic. So we can get these really high-speed connections from the device to the wireless access points. And then there's absolutely atrocious connection speed from the access point back out to the internet. So, you know, there's that. Okay. I'm going to talk more about ubiquity in a moment. Let me just have a look at comments in here. So James says, the Bling Bling Unify consumer line does look good. Look, it does. And particularly when I put it next to this really sad beige factory unit that was shipped from their ISP. It's just, and like the alien like glows this yellowy green at the bottom of it. Just looks so cool. It looks super cool. And it's got a constant display showing throughput as well. So there's always something happening on the display, which is really nice. So that was pretty cool. What else we got in here? So someone here says, I'm looking for something to replace my Apple AirPort Extremes around my house, tossing up between Unify wall mounts you have, which might look better. The alien ones sound like it could be it. Now, let me talk about what I put in the house with the in-wall units and how they differ from the other Amplify line. So as I said before, Unify's kind of got these two channels. You can either go, let me rephrase it, Ubiquity, the company, has got these two channels. You can go down the Unify line or the Amplify line. And then there's lots of different products within there. So Amplify, which I was just talking about, this is their Alien SKU. So it's the Game Risk looking one. It's Wi-Fi 6. There is also the Amplify, I believe they call it Amplify Home, which is a very slick looking white units. I've got a blog post about putting that in my parents' home. In fact, if you go to my blog and look for Ubiquity, there's a tag with a lot of blog posts there. And they're all very consumer centric. You can set it all up with your mobile device. It takes a few minutes. You can't create VNets. You can't create multiple SSIDs unless it's a guest network. You're a lot more restricted in terms of what you can do. It's going to be perfect for anyone who's non-tech, and it's probably perfect for a lot of you here unless you really want to go and do more full-on stuff. Now, the Unify line is the one which is more prosumer is the word that's often used, but also professional. So this is what you would see in places like stadiums or cafes or, remember when you used to go to stadiums? Yeah, that sort of thing. And this is where you have a lot more control over the composition of your network. You've probably all seen those Unify white discs. I'll show what they are because I've got a heap of spare ones now. All right, so they look like this. So these are Unify access points. You'll notice that one is bigger than the other because this one, I think, was an XG. That's a Unify XG. This was an AC Pro. There's also a Nano, which I have a feeling fell off the top of the other ones because I stacked them and they all got smaller as they went along. So you sort of decide which size you want based on your use case. And then, of course, your use case is everything from how many clients you might have connecting to how much distance you want to how much money you want to spend. So I had a bunch of these around the house. They sent me a bunch of in-wall units as replacements. So I tweeted a little while ago that I figured I could pop off the faceplates for the existing RJ45 jacks on my wall and replace that just with an in-wall unit, which has Wi-Fi built into it, as well as three Ethernet jacks, including one with PoE Plus, so that you can wire, say, a camera or something like that. So I've been gradually pulling these out of the house. These are the ones that I originally bought. Geez, was it 2016? Might have been 2016. Originally went out and spent about, I think, $2,500 of my own hard-earned just to go and set my home up and solve my network problems. And obviously that resonated with people and consequently with them. So they've been sending me bits and pieces since then. So I've been replacing them with the in-wall units. Now you can't mix the two up. So you can't take a Unify access point like this and plug it into an Amplify product line and have it work. Correct me if I'm wrong. Let's call it 90% sure that that's the case. So to the question here about using the in-wall units versus Amplify, you got to kind of figure out which horse you're going to back. So my suggestion would be if you want to do anything that's kind of fancy network configuration-wise, so having VNets, for example, if you wanted to have one network for your IoT things like I do and then one network for your primary things and then you wanted to VNet them, like I used to, but don't at the moment, and I'll come back and talk about that in a totally different thing, then that would be a good case of where you're going to want Unify. And maybe another way of looking at it is figure out how much money you want to spend. And if you can afford a Unify Dream Machine, I'd probably do that because it's going to give you a lot more options later on. Okay, let's have a look. What else is in here? Burton, when will they upgrade the NBN network to offer better connections? So apparently this is in progress. Some people are starting to get the option of like up to gigabit, but the problem is that ultimately this is like running cables through streets. So as much as I love the idea of having faster connectivity, it's going to be a matter of when, literally when the infrastructure gets put in place down our road. And the problem is that there's no clear indication of it. And I believe that there is some really substantial amount of money you can pay to fast track it, like $10,000 or something like that. Or maybe we can get a bunch of people together in the street. I'm not even exactly sure. But if I'm completely honest about it, getting 58 down, there are very few occasions where that's actually a bottleneck in what I do. So having multiple people in the house streaming HD video, no problems. Even uploading content, I don't get 58 up. I get 25 or something up. I have no problems. I had to send off 7 gigabytes worth of video for something yesterday. Drop it in Dropbox. It went relatively quickly, I think. So for the most part, that connectivity is, yes, it sucks, but it doesn't actually pose much of a barrier to what I do. So I'd like to see, geez, not even gigabit. I'd like to see like 100 megabit plus, but if I have to wait, it's not too much for drama at the moment. James says, yeah, you can opt to upgrade it with your own money. Not recommended. There's a long thread on Whirlpool with what people have paid. I don't think I need to do that yet. And the other thing is, and this is something I have done in the past, when before NBN and I had ADSL 2, my up speed was only like 2.5 megabits. If I really had to upload something in a hurry, I'd tether and I'd go over 4G. And I know that sucks, but if I get that 5G phone, the Savo, and I can actually get, let's say for argument's sake, reliably 500 megabits down, and I do have a very high cap on my mobile plan, if someone sends me 100 gigabytes worth of data breach and I really want to look at it quickly, I'll just tether and I'll pull it down. And I've just realized I'm sure 100 gigabytes would probably well and truly exceed my phone plan. So then I'm going to have another problem. But you know what I mean? Like there are options. And all of the options literally just have a direct line through to my wallet. Someone says, with NBN early upgrade, it's $400 to get a quote. The problem is that then people in the street can just leech off. Now, I did hear that there is money to be spent just to get a quote. And then after you get the quote, then you've got to decide if you want to go and spend all the extra money as well. So again, until there's a really compelling reason, I don't feel inclined to spend what would be pre-tax dollars, which incidentally is what's buying the phone, legitimate business expense. But that feels like a lot of money, doesn't it? All right, let's move on to something more fun. Let's move on to Trump. Back on InfoSec. Oh, boy. This is possibly one of my most liked tweets ever. So I have 7,400 likes on this tweet, and I'm sure that many people know where this is going. This is Trump from, where are we, about 3 days ago, saying, nobody gets hacked. To get hacked, you need someone with 197 IQ, and he needs about 15% of your password. There are multiple things wrong with this statement. And the one I didn't notice, which someone else picked up on, and I thought it was let's call it a sign of the times to pick up on, is Trump using the pronoun he as opposed to they, he, she, etc. But okay, fair point in this day and age as well. So clearly he has an expectation, he being Trump, has an expectation of who his threat actor is. It is unclear where the 197 comes from. It's unclear where the 15% comes from. I wondered, 15% is a bit of an odd number because it's like, okay, well, if your password's 100 characters long and you have 15, no, that doesn't really work either. I think part of, and I appreciate I'm doing this at a time zone when many of the people watching are probably from the US, part of the place this went off the rails is as soon as I tweeted this, and to be clear, like I quote tweeted someone else, And I said, I'd like to say a big thank you to Real Donald Trump for providing me with material that's going to feature in many, many presentations for years to come, because this will be great. This is going to be such good conference material. And then people started arguing politics. And I know that it is a very divided topic, particularly over there in the US. But watching people argue back and forth, my God. And particularly watching people who are unhappy with me. There are a couple of people in particular where one of them was being derogatory towards me because I said, you can't tell the difference between what's satire and not. And it's like, no, I can't. This is literally Poe's law. If you don't know what Poe's law is, look it up. It's the fact that we're now at a point where it's just impossible to tell the difference between real life and satire. And when it's Trump speaking, I just never know. All I know is it's funny. Then there are people that were unhappy that I, as an Australian, might comment on the politics of America, which I found particularly stupid for many reasons. One being that the politics in America do have a very large impact on the rest of the world. I'm choosing my words carefully not to upset anyone else any more than I need to, but it is a very influential place, and the things that that Trump does do have an impact on the rest of the world, including us. But also, flipping it around the other way, I would like to invite you to make fun of Australian politicians, Americans, honestly. Like, it's really good fun because there's a lot of material. In fact, I tweeted a piece of material afterwards with one of our previous prime ministers who, when asked about how he was going to ban encryption, because we're worried about sort of end-to-end encryption and law enforcement, legal intercepts, etc. So when asked about the fact that you can't really ban encryption because encryption is just mathematics, Malcolm Turnbull's response was, the laws of mathematics are commendable, but the only law that matters in Australia is the law of Australia. And go your hardest. Have a go at our politicians about that. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. So what a weird time. Are we going to have four more years of this? Moving on, because there is another Trump one from today. And this is particularly interesting for a couple of reasons. And then I'll come back and tackle any comments related to this. So there's a story here about how Trump's Twitter account was hacked again. And this is from a couple of days ago, maybe just yesterday. Now, I want to set a bit of context here first, because were it not for the person that did this, I might find it hard to believe. But the person behind this story is a Dutch guy who I know personally and I've spent time with in the Netherlands, called Victor Jevers. Victor Jevers? Sorry, Victor. He is OXDude on Twitter, 0XDude on Twitter. And he is a legit good guy, number one. And number two, who has found a lot of really, really interesting stuff over a period of many, many, many years. This is someone who has credibility and legitimacy. And were it not for that, I would find this a little bit hard to believe. But basically, the story goes that he's going through, looking at Trump's account, and he finds, actually, this is really funny. I'm going to explain it to you the way I explained it to my 11-year-old son, Ari, this morning. So basically, he's figured out Trump's password. And I said to Ari this morning, and he's getting a little bit interested in this area. I said, mate, what is it, that catchphrase that Trump always says? And he's like, make America great again. I was like, yeah. And what's the acronym for that? Like, what are the letters? And he's like, MAGA. I said, like, okay, good. And then what year is the next election in? And he's like, 2021. No, okay, maybe you don't follow American politics. It's 2020. I was like, and you know how a lot of the time when you go to create a password, you've got to have like letters and numbers and also a symbol. You know, what symbol do you think you'd put at the end of it? And he's like, maybe a question mark. I said, well, do you think Trump ever questions that he's going to make America great again, or is it more of a statement? Oh, an exclamation mark. Yep, there you go, mate. You just figured it out. Well done. So the password was apparently MAGA 2020 exclamation mark. And then also apparently without 2FA. Now, this has caused many people in their responses to my tweet about it to question the legitimacy of Victor's findings. And again, if it wasn't Victor and it was some unknown person, I would question it. But I don't question it because it is Victor. Now, unless, and I was actually mulling this over in my head as I was driving home after school drop-off this morning, but I was thinking, unless it is some sort of Twitter implementation where you are seen to gain access to the account, but you don't actually have access to the account, because as far as I know, he didn't tweet from it or change any details. And there's just a screen cap in here showing the ability to edit the name. And as best I know, he hasn't actually done that. So I, without evidence to the contrary, believe what Victor's reported just here. I think it's kind of crazy because you got to remember the same incident happened in 2016 with the password of "you're fired." Spelt without an apostrophe either. Apostrophe would have been good, mate. I mean, not just grammatically, but you know, extra characters. So, two Trump stories. How about that? All right, let me have a look at the comments. Oh, there's nothing about Trump here. No one wants to talk about Trump. There's a question here from Rune. I've got Amplify and thinking about a change to Unify, starting with a Dream Machine. Where I live, I rely on mobile broadband, LTE. Do you know if you LTE gateways plan to support anything other? I don't know. I would imagine that in this case, you would still need to have an upstream modem in order to make that connection, and then you'd plug into there with the Unify bits. Now, Dan says, Troy, I think you're wrong. They did claim to send a tweet from Trump's account. Now, I may have missed that because there was a bit in the bit that I took away from this. Now, I'm also reading this story from vn.nl. This is the one I tweeted earlier on. There was a bit in there which speculated that maybe there was a tweet sent from his account, but then the tweet wasn't deleted. So if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. Fair enough. What I did take away from this is that it did look like Victor had a lot of trouble actually getting this reported. Let me actually just search for the word. Oh, no, there's 20 words tweet in here. So I'm not sure that he actually did send that tweet or not. Curious. What if I'm past three? He says, the story says, breaking into a Twitter account to prove it is poorly secured is one thing, posting a tweet is another. I took things further this time because our previous report obviously didn't have any effect. I hope that everything will now be resolved soon and that Trump sends us a message. Thank you for your work report. Good luck getting that, mate. Ah, interesting. Here he is. That'll be removed. Ah, okay. Maybe he did tweet. Wow, okay. I would imagine, and from what I can see from the story here, that is something that only happens when you really can't get traction in a more conciliatory way. Dan says, the tweet is still visible. It's the Babylon Bee one. Yeah, there's definitely a language barrier telephone game, but I don't see how he can believe the claims based on screenshots alone. Look, now that this is getting a lot of press, hopefully Victor chimes in with whatever's necessary in order to prove he did have control, but again, it would be very un-Victor to make this up. So I'd be very surprised if it was fabricated. Okay, so look, I think we're pretty much done there. I am still writing up the big blog series around IoT. I literally had 5 different windows of draft blog open because I'm doing this a 5-part series the other day. I'm aligning on everything in the home in terms of making it all work as I expect. There's just loads and loads of little things. Like I was so proud of myself that I had a motion sensor down the bottom of the stairs, one in the middle and then one at the top because there's like 3 different floors. And I wanted to make sure that whenever someone came out from one of those locations, the lights on the stairs went on. And it was beautiful. And I was saying to Charlotte, like, isn't this cool? You know, you just walk out and the light comes on. And she's like, no, it doesn't. What do you mean it doesn't? And she walks up to the sensor down the bottom and nothing happens. And then I've jumped into the, I'll get the terminology right here, the Foscon configuration or the Decons configuration, which is I'm literally VNC'd into Decons, which shows the Zigbee network map. And what I've noticed is that the light sensor, light and motion sensor down the bottom, has got rather flaky connectivity Zigbee-wise. So I really need to have a repeater down there, and I know I'm going to do this as well. But unfortunately, that if a device doesn't actually have connectivity and it sees motion, then it can't report it back to Home Assistant, and I can't trigger events and things like that. I've got a couple of Shellys in one place which aren't playing nice, and I'm not sure if it's they're both in the one location. All the other ones are doing exactly what I want. They're working as edge switches, which means they change state every single time the physical switch is flicked, either up or down, which is fantastic. There's one that does the lights in the pool and one that does the lights in the garden, which are not doing that. I can only toggle them digitally. And I'm not sure if that is a problem with the way I've configured the Shelly or if it's a problem with the way the Sparky has actually physically wired them in. So he's coming back next week also to help me install my Ubiquiti doorbell. Oh, I've got to talk about doorbells. So hopefully that will sort of finally be the stage where I get everything to the point where I think I can start pushing blog posts. The doorbell, incidentally, here's the doorbell. Again, something Ubiquiti sent me some time ago. In fact, I couldn't talk about it for quite a while because it wasn't meant to be publicly known. But this is what the doorbell looks like. Looks like, I'll just pop it out so you can see exactly the size. That's the doorbell there. It is hardwired to power, but I think it's only like 48 volts or something to that effect. So one of the things we've got to work out is it looks like we have DC voltage down in front of my house at the moment to a really shitty basic old sort of video camera intercom setup. So we've got to change that over to AC, run enough voltage through. And then the other thing I realized is that we need like a chime box. So when someone's out the front and they press the button to obviously to ring the bell, something has to ring. And I've got sort of clunky old digital ones in here that tie into this really old system. Feels like it's out of the 80s or 90s or something, which is probably not quite that old, but it feels like it. So I was thinking, what am I going to do for a chime box? But so long as Home Assistant can see the button press, I can always get the Sonos to talk. So one thing I have really reliably working is text-to-speech with the Sonos. So based on certain events, Sonos will speak up and everything's fine. So what I might do is they press the button, our phones will sort of alert us that there's someone there at the door, and then what we'll do is we'll get the Sonos to say, ring, ring, someone's at the door or something like that. And then hopefully I won't need an extra chime box. I did also ask on Twitter the other day, this was after installing Amplify down at my mate's house here, if anyone had any suggestions for connected doorbells. Now, clearly I'm conscious that this is going to be a very good connected doorbell. I'm not certain, and someone can tell me if I'm wrong or right here, if this actually requires a Dream Machine or a Ubiquiti NVR in order to record to and then effectively be the hub and orchestration of this. I was thinking it was going to be a Ring or a Nest or something like that. When I asked the question, a lot of people suggested this, but again, I'm not sure on the other dependencies, and they've just got Amplify in their home. So if the Ubiquiti doorbell does work as a standalone unit, that might be an easy win. Otherwise, I think Ring or Nest, there was equal love and hate for both, mostly around things like people were very upset that Ring has worked with law enforcement in the past. And I think that people, frankly, there was a bit of mind losing in an incommensurate way to the actual risk to privacy and security. However, a lot of people who have them seem to absolutely love them. So hopefully next week I'll have this working. This will be something I can talk about as well. But this is kind of, I think, the last big piece that I want to put in here to really make everything work the way I wanted. Okay, well, thank you very much, everyone, for watching. I'm going to end this live stream here, go and do some more presentation-y things from home today, go get my iPhone, and I will share some details about later on, particularly if I get some good connection speeds. Thanks for watching. I will do this later in the day, Friday next week. See you, everyone.